toot, testing 1, 2. Sunday, March 23rd, test 1, 2.
This sunny spring morning, you're bringing the warmth here into the building. My name is Kristen. For those who haven't met me yet, I'm the minister for worship and spiritual care here at Rosedale United Church. And with me in leadership this morning is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, our organ scholar, Sarah Gangle. Our choir is among you. And Rosedale United is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. We gather each week to learn, to grow, and to serve. We're so glad that you have made time to be here and to form the community this morning. Thank you. I just want to draw your attention to the bulletin. Inside it, you'll see a list of important dates. I want to flag that on April the 6th, we are having our annual general meeting, and that is taking place right here following worship. We'll have the usual sandwiches and fruit and tea and coffee here in the sanctuary, so if you can stay for that meeting, and we do encourage you to do so, you will be fed. So mark that. And also just our Easter season dates I want to point out. We are gathering on Thursday at Metropolitan United. Jason and I are leading a joint service for Holy Thursday at 7 p.m. Here on Friday morning, we have our exquisite Good Friday choral service. And if you have not experienced this, I really encourage you to try it out. It's a wonderful service to bring a friend to. It's extremely moving, and the music is transcendent. Easter Sunday, we'll be here with our daffodil cross as usual. Look out for the announcements in the Keeping in Touch weekly e-newsletter about how you can donate daffodils to our cross this year. Also want to draw your attention, if you have kids or grandkids and you haven't signed them up for summer camp and you're realizing, oh my goodness, they're going to be all full, don't worry, we've got you covered. We've got a bunch of camps that we're offering here all summer long. Check that out. Sarah's Mi Re Do is starting a new session April 7th. It's wonderful for kids age 4 to 8 or 9 to sing after school on Mondays. You can sign up. We're singing from More Voices today, so that's the spiral notebook. When you see MV, that's what it is. The green is large print. It's a new hymn, but it's really easy. You're going to get it. It's lovely. I think that's it from me for announcements. And so I will invite us to stand as we're able, and let's join together in our call to worship. Come, faithful people, and find that quiet center where God may enter in. We gather as God's people, hungry for holy presence, ready for God's word to us. Let us worship God, and we sing together, all who hunger.
Thank you.
The peace of Christ be with you all. Nice. I invite you to turn to those around you and extend the peace of Christ to them. Please make sure to greet someone you haven't met yet. Our tenebrae candles that are marking our time through the season of Lent. We are halfway through today, which is remarkable. I think, yes. And I light the light of Christ. It's so good to see so many faces who I know are back from traveling, back in this building, back together. It's wonderful to feel the energy and the warmth of your conversation and greeting this morning. I want to invite us just into a moment of silence. I want to invite us to take that moment of quiet to gather ourselves, to tend to our hearts as we prepare for another week of living. Let us pray. Holy One, we gather in this place reflecting on our lives as they are interwoven with your life. How remarkable it is that we have been surprised even now by moments of peace and rest. And we lift to you in gratitude all the small moments that have held us this week. Birds chirping in the morning again, feeling the warmth of sun on skin, marveling at the ground suddenly released of snow, and just for a moment, we felt ourselves the same, Lord. Free, open, ready. We name our gratitude in the silence of our hearts. Peace and rest, Lord, for these we long. And yet we know that in order to find lasting peace, sometimes we have to lament and name our failures and our hurts, along with the ways we have failed and hurt others. And so for the times when we have been hasty or unkind, for the times when we have failed to forgive or to seek forgiveness, for the times when we have forgotten your presence and taken your love for granted, forgive us. Help us to make amends and restore us. And we say now together the prayer that Jesus taught us. O loving parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And our response is Ubi Caritas. So we turned into a new season on Friday. The season of spring is here. And so opening the theme this morning, how did you know it was spring in our world? What made it feel to you that it was spring? And what made you feel spring in your own heart? What were the signs of spring that you noticed this week in our world and in your own heart? How did you know it was spring?
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 to 9. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the prophets, a leader and commander for the peoples. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In these ancient words, may we find wisdom for living today. Our second reading is from Psalm 63, verses 1 to 8. Please join me with the lines in bold that are yours. You are my God. I long for you from early morning. My whole being desires you like a dry, worn, waterless land. My soul thirsts for you. In the sanctuary, let me see how mighty are your works. Your constant love is better than life itself, and so I will praise you. I will give thanks as long as I live. I raise my hands in prayer. My soul will feast and be filled, and I will sing and praise you. As I lie in bed, I remember you, O God. I think of you all night long, for you are my constant help. In the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. I cling to you. Your hand keeps me safe. This is the witness of the Hebrew Scriptures. May these words comfort, challenge, and inspire us. Amen.
Friend Sarah is going to play for us this next hymn so that our ears get used to hearing it, and I invite you to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We extend our hearts and hold in our minds the people and places of our community and our world that we lift in prayer together this morning. The prayers of our community also for Lent have a sung response that will be familiar to you. Let us pray. Lord, you challenge us to notice your redeeming and reconciling power at work in the midst of the chaos that can engulf our lives. We think you are far from us, but you have told us where we can find you. Help our hearts to see you again and turn towards you in the hungry and the lonely and the vulnerable. Show us what we can do to serve you. Transform our hearts and minds that our actions might witness to your great love for all. Here we are, Lord. We pray today for all those who mourn. May they feel comforted. We pray today for all who need to shed the winter that is in them and welcome the spring. We pray today for children and young people that they might always know hope and joy and resilience. May we be the adults they need us to be. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that is in us. Thank you for the concern that is in us. Thank you for the caring that is in us. We are here, Lord. Amen. And we join together in our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. And so in this moment, as is our practice, you are invited, if you like, to light a candle. The stations are on either side of our sanctuary. To light a candle for a prayer that you may be holding in your heart this morning, a person, a place, it may be a prayer from deep in the bottom of your own heart that you want to acknowledge. So as Sarah plays, we invite you to stand and light a candle as you like. You're also equally welcome to make an offering to the life and work of this congregation, and our box is at the back, and equally you can just sit and enjoy the moment where you are. This time is yours.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, whisper words of wisdom. She whispers words of wisdom, let it be.
Broken-hearted people living in the world agree,
there will be an answer, let it be, let it be.
For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see,
there will be an answer, let it be.
Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer. Let it be, let it be. Let it be, let it be.
You bring so much joy to our hearts, choir. Thank you so much. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last Tuesday evening at 5:58 p.m., the space capsule carrying the American astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore splashed down in the waters off the Gulf Coast of Florida. And I was standing in my kitchen getting supper ready, listening to the radio when I heard this news. These astronauts had been meant to stay only 8 days on the International Space Station when they arrived last June. But the spacecraft on which they had traveled showed signs of being faulty and was deemed unsafe to carry them back to Earth. And so it was decided that they would simply have to wait up there until another spacecraft could be readied to come and pick them up. They were only meant to be on the ISS for 8 days. But they ended up having to stay for 9 months. I shuddered just thinking about it. Every time their story popped up in the news cycle, I know I'm not an astronaut. I know I can't fathom what it would have been like to watch the spacecraft meant to take me back to Earth leave without me. But I do know what it feels like to plan for a thing to happen, to imagine my life going one way only to have my life all of a sudden go off in another direction. I know we're not astronauts, but I wonder if you too have experienced times when you find yourself in a kind of physical and emotional and psychological limbo, times when you have felt far away from where you want to be, with no clear sense of how long it will take you to get back to feeling at home again. To me, those astronauts, when they were waiting on the ISS for their new spacecraft, month after month after month, were a potent image for a spiritual experience that we can find ourselves in, a deep and uncomfortable spiritual experience that our tradition calls being in the wilderness. What do we do when we find ourselves in the wilderness? Being in a spiritual wilderness isn't like taking a nice walk in the park on a sunny spring day or going off for a hike on the Bruce Trail. Often, we don't choose to go to a spiritual wilderness. We simply find ourselves there after an unexpected event or an injury or a loss. And there is no clear route for us to follow back to where we want to be, no easy way out. A spiritual wilderness can be a physical place we find ourselves in, like the astronauts. But we can also find ourselves in a wilderness without ever leaving our homes. And there is no set timeline for a spiritual wilderness experience. The astronauts in space were there for 9 months. But sometimes we can be in the wilderness for years, and we can't get around it or under it. It's just something we have to go through. Being in a spiritual wilderness can feel like the emotional equivalent of losing your paddles in the middle of a wide lake, and the psychological equivalent of walking a tight and winding path of mountain switchbacks where every turn reveals only more path yet to walk. A spiritual wilderness is where we are when we are going through something. It is the journey and not the destination, the process and not the outcome. It is where we are, physically and emotionally, when we are orbiting and orbiting and orbiting, but before we splash down in the waters of our arrival. So what can we do when we find ourselves wandering in the wilderness? It was the ancient people of Israel, the Hebrew people, who gave us the concept of a spiritual wilderness. They'd lived through so many of them. Their first came after their experience of being enslaved for many generations in ancient Egypt. Moses led them out to freedom. They were on their way to the land God had promised them. A week went by, and they didn't arrive. They were just kind of orbiting, like the astronauts on the ISS. And then a month went by, and then a year. The ancient people of Israel had marched into freedom only to find themselves stuck in a new kind of captivity, stuck between here and there. 9 months the astronauts were stuck in their wilderness, but the wilderness of the ancient people of Israel lasted 40 years. And they hadn't planned to be wandering there, and they hadn't imagined to be spending their liberated lives in this different captivity. They simply found themselves in it. And when they finally arrived in the promised land, it was everything they'd ever hoped for. They crowned kings for themselves, like all the other nations around them, and marked out borders, and had this land now in which to root themselves. And never again, they thought, would they find themselves back in a wilderness time, but it did happen again. The Babylonian army invaded the kingdoms of Israel and Judah and took captive a large number of citizens, so there would be no chance of a large-scale revolt, and forced them to relocate more than 1,000 kilometers away to the banks of the Euphrates River in modern-day Iraq. And like the astronauts on the space station, these exiles were far away from all of their touchstones. They were separated from their people. They couldn't go to the temple to worship. They couldn't mark the seasons of their lives in the same way, and there was no obvious way home. What can you do when you find yourself in the wilderness? When I would think about the astronauts on the space station, when they would pop up in the news, that's what I imagined would be so trying about their situation, the fact that they couldn't do anything about it. They were just out there going through it. Because in my life, I don't like to sit with something that's uncomfortable. I want to fix it and change it and resolve it. I've talked before about how impotent I felt when a friend of mine was going through a divorce. This was many years ago when our kids were young. We would take our kids to the playground and we would talk for a while, and then she would just lie down on a bench and close her eyes. And it was so clear to me that she was deep in the woods. I mean, way, way off in the wilderness. And I wanted to do something to get her through. I broke my elbow once and had to have surgery, and having never broken a bone before, but having seen plenty of people in a cast one day and out of it the next, I thought that once the cast came off, I would be good as new. I had never traveled before to the wilderness that is healing. Well, the cast came off, and I thought I'd be able to do what I used to be able to do, but I couldn't even make the smallest rotation of my hand. It is the being in the wilderness that is so agonizing for those who are in it and for those who are watching someone go through it. We have to do something, we think. Some action is needed, some results, because the wilderness is uncomfortable, and we don't trust that any good can come from just being in endless orbit. Conclave is a film about people in a spiritual wilderness who just want to do something to get out of it. It's a movie about the vote for the next pope. And it's set in our time, but none of the characters are based on real people. It's entirely fictional. And in the world of the film, the Pope has just died, and a man named Cardinal Lawrence, played by the actor Ralph Fiennes, is charged with managing what's called the conclave, which is the sequestering of all the world's cardinals together in Rome to vote for who among them will be the next pope. And the sequestering forces them into a kind of wilderness. They are cut off from the rest of the world. The news they receive is limited. Special blinds cover all the windows of the Vatican Palace. The conclave is meant to give the cardinals time apart and space to be, to commune with God, to listen for God's guidance. But the cardinals don't want to be. They want to do. There is too much at stake, they reason, to just sit back and be. They feel they have to take matters into their own hands. Each camp, the progressives and the conservatives, stop at nothing to accomplish their purposes. They try to discredit each other, to buy each other's votes. At one point, the progressives even consider voting for a cardinal of poor moral character just because they think he has a better chance at beating the conservative. No one will just be in the wilderness in which they find themselves, except for the newest cardinal among them, a man named Cardinal Benitez. And we don't know what it is about him, but he seems to be unafraid to just be in the wilderness. Actually, I don't think it's possible to not be afraid of being in the wilderness, because every wilderness is uncomfortable and we don't know how we'll get through, and that is agonizing. So what I would say instead is that the character of Cardinal Benitez in Conclaves seems to trust the wilderness. The cardinal trusts that we can emerge from our wilderness times with more depth and feeling more whole and more connected, even when we are afraid. It's not that the astronauts weren't afraid of being in the wilderness. Of course they were. But when I heard an interview with them, it seemed as though they had decided to trust that their time in the wilderness could still be productive and formative. They just decided to live in it, to see what they could see, and to feel what they were feeling. This is not an easy business that we're a part of, Butch Wilmore said in an interview with the New York Times. And sometimes you run into situations, he said, that are unexpected. And we found ourselves in one, and we continue to stay here and work and actually just do what we are called to do, he said. Now we might be wondering where God is in all of this. It is my job each week to take our texts, both ancient and modern, and try to work out what God might be saying to us in the context of where we are, which feels like a kind of wilderness. I have an unusual job, for sure. And some weeks I find it harder than others because our texts can be opaque. But this week, I have to say, the text is straightforward. When we find ourselves in a wilderness, our reading from Isaiah says, God offers to us an invitation. The text from Isaiah actually sounds like a formal invitation, like one you might receive to a wedding. The living God, the creator of all that is and was and is to come, requests the pleasure of your company. It may as well have arrived to us on thick stationery with raised letters that you can run your fingers over. Come, all you who are thirsty, it reads. Come to the waters. As far as I can tell from the book of Isaiah, what God offers to us when we are in the middle of something, what God offers to us when we're really going through something, what God offers to us when we find ourselves in a spiritual wilderness, like the astronauts and the ancient people of Israel, what God offers to us is an invitation. God invites us to just be in a relationship, an everlasting covenant. When we are challenged and we don't know how to move through, when we are stuck in regret and don't know how to make amends, when we are overwhelmed for fear of what is ahead, and we are just orbiting and orbiting, God extends to us an invitation. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that you may live. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Seriously? A relationship? That's it? That's all God's got for us in the wilderness. Like, what is that actually going to do? I mean, what are the results that is going to get us? My thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways. Jesus told a story about a man who had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to see if it had any fruit on it, but it was empty. Frustrated, this man went to the gardener. Just give up on the tree, he said. It's been 3 years and no fruit. Just cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? But the gardener understood that the tree was just in a fallow season, a kind of wilderness, and the gardener cared for the tree. The gardener had a relationship with it, and he pleaded for the tree. Give it a little longer, he said. I'm digging around it. I'm fertilizing it. Now, God can't prevent the wilderness times in our lives. Suffering and challenge and fallow times are built into the experience of being human. Often, we don't perceive it in the moment. It's only when we look backwards that we can see how we were cared for in our fallow times, in our wildernesses, the restoration and the regeneration that was actually taking place. I know it really doesn't sound like much, but then maybe you can recall a wilderness time from your past and think about where you are now and marvel at what happened in your heart, what you learned and how you grew. You might have thought it wasn't possible to come through it. But my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways. God simply offers to us today an invitation. And I suppose if we really want to do something, we could RSVP. But even if we don't, I still believe that God is with us on this strange capsule as we orbit and orbit, guiding us in ways we may never understand to a place where we can finally say we've arrived. Amen. Friends, I hope you'll stand with me and sing together Amazing Grace. Go now in peace and in love with kindness and humility. Go from here aware of your wounds, letting holy love bind them up. Go from here in strength and with the power to be tender. And we bless each other as we go.